26. Every special human being strives instinctively for his own castle and secrecy, where he is saved from the crowd, the many, the majority, where he can forget the rule-bound people. For he is an exception to them, but for the single case where he is pushed by an even stronger instinct straight against these rule-bound men, as a person who seeks knowledge in a great and exceptional sense. Anyone who, in his intercourse with human beings, does not at one time or another shimmer with all the colours of distress, green and grey with disgust, surfeit, sympathy, gloom, and loneliness, is certainly not a man of higher taste. But provided he does not take all this weight and lack of enthusiasm freely upon himself, always keeps away from it, and stays, as mentioned, hidden, quiet, and proud in his castle, well, one thing is certain. He is not made for, not destined, for knowledge. For if he were, he would one day have to say to himself, "The devil take my good taste. The rule-bound man is more interesting than the exception, than I am, the exception." And he would make his way down, and above all, inside. The study of the average man, long, serious, and requiring much disguise, self-control, familiarity, bad company — all company is bad company except with one's peers — that constitutes a necessary part of the life story of every philosopher, perhaps the most unpleasant, foul-smelling part, the richest in disappointments. But if he's lucky, as is appropriate for a fortunate child of knowledge, he will encounter real shortcuts and ways of making his task easier. I'm referring to the so-called cynics, those who simply recognize the animal, the meanness, the rule-bound man in themselves, and in the process still possess that degree of intellectual quality and urge to have to talk about themselves and people like them before witnesses. Now and then they even wallow in books, as if in their very own dung. Cynicism is the single form in which common souls touch upon what honesty is. And the higher man should open his ears to every cruder or more refined cynicism, and think himself lucky every time a shameless clown or a scientific satyr announces himself directly in front of him. There are even cases where enchantment gets mixed into the disgust. For example, in those places where, by some vagary of nature, genius is bound up with such an indiscreet billygoat and ape, as in the Abbé Galiani, the most profound, sharp-sighted, and perhaps also the foulest man of his century. He was much deeper than Voltaire, and consequently a good deal quieter. More frequently it happens that, as I've intimated, the scientific head is set on an ape's body, a refined and exceptional understanding in a common soul. Among doctors and moral physiologists, for example, that's not an uncommon occurrence. And where anyone speaks without bitterness and quite harmlessly of men as a belly with two different needs and a head with one, everywhere where someone constantly sees, looks for, and wants to see only hunger, sexual desires, and vanity, as if these were the real and only motivating forces in human actions, in short, wherever people speak badly of human beings, not even in a nasty way, there the lover of knowledge should pay fine and diligent attention. He should, in general, direct his ears to wherever people talk without indignation. For the indignant man, and whoever is always using his own teeth to tear himself apart or lacerate himself, or, as a substitute for that, the world or God or society, may indeed, speaking morally, stand higher than the laughing and self-satisfied satyr. But in every other sense, he is the more ordinary, the more trivial, the more uninstructive case. And no one lies as much as the indignant man. 27. It is difficult to be understood, particularly when one thinks and lives Gangastrogati, like the flow of the river Ganges, among nothing but people who think and live differently, namely Kurmagati, like the movements of a tortoise, or, in the best cases, following the gait of frogs, Mandei Kagati. Clearly I'm doing everything to make myself difficult to be understood, and people should appreciate from their hearts the goodwill in some subtlety of interpretation. But so far as good friends are concerned, those who are always too comfortable and believe they have a particular right as friends to a life of comfort, one does well to start by giving them a recreation room and playground of misunderstanding. So one has to laugh, or else to get rid of them altogether, these good friends, and also to laugh.